So thank you everyone for joining us. We have a special guest today, published author Jessica Gates, and she is super talented. We're excited to be able to interview her and let you guys in on, you know, kind of the behind the scenes of what it takes to be an author like Jessica. And so we're super excited to get to pick her brain on the book that we have and that we've read and learned about. And we're excited to have you. And so we'll just get started, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Great to be on here.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So tell us a little bit about Rise of the Forgotten.
So Rise of the Forgotten is one of those projects that's kind of always been a part of my life. Since I was about 14 years old, that's when I started scribbling a story about a princess, and it morphed into a novel. Since then, I've rewritten it. And I don't know, I just kind of wrote what I wanted to read. So it's a medieval style adventure. It's got knights and princesses and horses. Like I said, yeah, whatever I wanted to read, I kind of put into the book.
That's so awesome. That's a great way to, you know, for all of our new people that are listening that I haven't written anything yet. I mean, that's a good place to start, right?
Yeah.
And so if you first come up with the story of, you know, this book, what inspired you?
You know, I think I was sitting in a car driving in the back seat, and I just started scribbling on a piece of note paper because it was spring and everything was beautiful and green. So I just started writing about a girl galloping her horse, and it kind of just morphed from there. I didn't really have a clear direction.
Well, you do now. So
yes, I do.
It was very well done. So, you know, let's kind of go over, you know, some of the main locations in your book. So we've got Alarkin, right? Lania, yeah. And then Kyrathos, is that right? Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about those.
Well, first, I'm really impressed you pronounced all of those correctly. secondly, yeah, I don't know. I love other worlds. I love medieval style adventures. I tried to do as much research into the medieval type of worlds as possible to make Alarkin and to make specifically Kyrathos as realistic as possible, to where I feel like I always disconnect from worlds if I can't visualize what they look like or what the day-to-day life would look like. So I really tried to make it relatable, and also, you know, obviously it's a princess living in a castle. I wanted it to be adventurous as well and fun, but I just kind of wanted to strive for some kind of a balance in between the two where readers could relate. And so a few of the words, not a Larkin, but a few of the kingdom or country names are actually based in Latin, so which okay. I do not speak. I use Google Translate, don't judge me.
So that answered my next question. Was it inspired by any particular place? And that definitely answered my next question. And yeah, so Elizabeth, yeah. You got some questions to take off with. So I'm going to let you take off with that.
Yeah. So I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about the characters, you know. So we've got Princess Raven, and she is the main protagonist. She's our heroine of the story. Everything kind of builds off of her experiences. And so I really love that. And she's just an awesome character. She's sarcastic. She's not your typical princess, you know. She's sword fighting and she rides horses astride. And like, she's the greatest princess ever. Like, I want to hang out with her. And then we have her maid. I love her maid. And I want to talk a little bit about Brianna a little bit later on. But then we've got Tristan, which is the soldier who is charged to protect them on their diplomatic journey. We've got all of these other characters. So do any of these characters kind of, I don't know, mean a little bit more to you, kind of hold a special place in your heart?
Yeah, I definitely tried to make them as relatable as possible. And honestly, I wrote a lot of qualities, either things that I've seen in my family or friends or in some of my favorite characters in books. Obviously, a few things from Princess Raven are things that I put in from my own life. I'm not as gloriously sarcastic as she is. I wish I could be, but I'm too nice most of the time. But just a lot of her activities, horseback riding, and I dabble a little in sword fighting and everything else. So I tried to put that in there. Actually, one of the side princesses, Princess Melodia, I've always really enjoyed her as a character because I feel like she's a little bit different. I don't know. I feel like they're my friends.
Yeah, you definitely did a good job at bringing them to life and like making them very relatable, because that exactly feels like your friends. It feels like you could just call them up and then say, hey, let's go ride horses, you know? So
yeah, absolutely. Well, when they do what I want, sometimes they just do their own thing. I'm like, what are you doing?
I'm going to let you, that kind of answered the next question already. So my question was, did you develop your main characters kind of as you wrote, or did you already have them thought up in your head?
No, I definitely didn't have them thought up beforehand. Like I said, I kind of didn't even plan the story out. It just started off as a fun little short story. And then I'm like, I could actually take this a long way. But when I went through and rewrote Rise of the Forgotten, oh gosh, I don't know, that was 2 years ago, maybe. I definitely took kind of what I saw there already. They kind of like created themselves as characters based on the plot. They became what they needed to be for the plot. And then as I rewrote it, I really just fleshed out those attributes. So, you know, I could see, oh, Raven's spunky. Well, let's give her a little bit more depth. Let's give her a little more backstory with her father. Let's really just explore what it would actually be like to be a princess, and you wouldn't have the same knowledge. You know, we're looking at this from a modern perspective of, oh yeah, we can see where the royalty was often spoiled and the peasants were just, you know, really mistreated. But back in the day, if you're living in a castle, you maybe wouldn't have known that. So I tried to give her a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, a little bit of naivety, while also still being not a, I hate to say, a, kind of, but annoying no character person. Mm-hmm. I wanted her to be strong, but also maybe a little bit naive. A good balance between the two. So, yeah.
Fantastic.
Alrighty. So let's talk about Brianna. This is my favorite character out of the entire series. And I think that's because I got to read your second book, Through to the Dawn, which is all about Brianna. So I have like a little bit more of an understanding, but she's super brave. Even though she's timid and she's been hurt, and she's willing to help Princess Raven get out of all of the troubles that, you know, they all face. So did you always plan for her to have her own book, or did that kind of just come along as you got to know her?
You know, as she made her first appearance in her literal run into Raven, knocking a bunch of laundry sheets to the ground, it was a very exciting entrance. She just kind of struck me as a character who needed her story told. You know, I started exploring her in Rise of the Forgotten and I enjoyed her as a character. She's just different. And as I went along, once I got about halfway through the book, I'm like, she needs more of a story than I'm going to ever be able to give her justice in this book. This is Raven's story, but Brianna definitely needs her own story. And so it kind of just, as I went along, that's kind of where the realization hit me more and more. And then I even set it up in Rise of the Forgotten where I'm like, yep, she's going to have a next book. And I didn't know when that would happen. And it's taken me a few years to actually get around to writing it. But she deserved to have her story told.
And I'm super excited for that to come out. I'm so excited.
Yeah, you and me both.
I have just a kind of curiosity question. What would you say is maybe one of the most difficult scenes that you've, you know, kind of written through? And what did it take really to kind of help you get out of that block? And what kind of helped you transition through to like getting your thoughts and your words out to where it portrays, you know, what you've been wanting to portray?
Yeah, that's a hard one. I've definitely had a lot of those moments. You know, I feel like it's usually the same area for every book that I write. And that's somewhere in the middle. It's like, right before the action gets intense and good, but you also need to set it up. So I don't know exactly where that moment was specifically in Rise of the Forgotten. I think it was somewhere where, no spoilers, but they're kind of being chased through the woods and they're trying to escape. And there's just a lot of setup I had to do. There's a lot of calculating I had to do. You wouldn't know it from reading the books, but I had a very extensive map written out with like little crazy dashed lines all over as I was trying to figure out how many days of travel each person would take and trying to line them up because some of them were going different directions and trying to make like three different parties of people all arrived at the same place at the same time while having completely different routes and getting way later along the side. And honestly, that gave me a bit of writer's block just trying to work through that mid-novel slump and trying to figure out all the logistics. I'm a creative writer. I don't like logistics. I just like being able to write and come up with story and come up with characters. But when you hit me with the details, I'm like, oh gosh, I've got to go through and figure all this out. So honestly, there wasn't like a magic cure. I just had to keep coming back and writing it. And sometimes that meant I had to get a little bit of a break first, not beating myself up over the fact that I had to pause. And sometimes that meant just sitting down at the computer and making myself write the next page or the next chapter and just honestly pushing through. There was no magical, aha, I got the secret. It's just kind of, I had to keep working at it.
Yeah, I mean that, you can't even tell whenever you're reading the book. It all flows so perfectly.
I'm glad to hear it.
So you said earlier that you did quite a bit of research as far as like the medieval world and what their day-to-day life looked like. Do you have any maybe favorite resources for researching or favorite process for researching?
Sure. So for one, honestly, really solid like historical fiction books were my friend. I read through a lot of similar genres. Stephen Lawhead is one of my go-tos for anything medieval type for a few of his series, not all of his, but he has some historical ones that really delve into medieval life. He's a big historian, research buff type of thing. So one of the specific ones was his Hood series. It's like a Robin Hood, but it's kind of if you took it historically. And so that was a big one, just going through some similar books, not even just Stephen Lawhead, but just other solid historical medieval type fiction. And kind of gleaning from there. And then honestly, just the internet, I would look for different sources on there. I'd read a bunch of, you know, castle layout articles or, you know, just looking very specifically at different topics or whatever. A lot of my research revolved around food. I love the planning out all the feasts. And honestly, I think I cut some of them out just because I'm like, okay, we don't need to know what they're eating every single time there's a meal. But I really had a lot of fun like planning out, oh, this course would have this. And so yeah, honestly, just a bunch of random internet articles. I have a few, I don't know, random books, but nothing particular, just kind of taking a lot of research and cross-referencing it. And if you have anyone you know you can talk to, that's awesome. I didn't happen to, but just huge conglomeration.
And it really all built up this amazing world. Like it feels so real. It yeah. really does. It's amazing. Like you just, once you start reading, you're completely taken into a different world and it's, yeah. you get into the adventure. And I remember one particular scene where someone draws a sword and it's in the middle of the fight at the end and someone draws a sword and it was just like, you heard the sound of it being drawn out and you felt the fear of the character, you know, in the middle of this fight. And it was just, that shocked me the first time I read it. I was like, wow, I just got scared. Like I'm in the middle of a war.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and the fun thing is if I mess up any details, I'm going to write it off as fantasy, but no, I really did try to make it as real of a world as possible. And just like I said, I was in that book for years and it's one of those projects that's really just come to mean a lot to me.
What would be your favorite scenes to write? I know she just talked about a really exciting scene. What is your favorite scene to write, you know, throughout, you know, all of the books that you've written? What is your, I guess, go-to where like, oh, that's easy. Because you really love, you know, writing those. What would that be?
You know, easy is very subjective. Sometimes I go through, I'm like, oh, that was really easy. And other times it's not. But one of my favorite types of scenes are just high tension moments. And honestly, sometimes those high tension moments are when two characters are just really clashing and they're having a really fun, witty banter that it's like they're obviously going at it with each other. But it's really amusing to read and write. So a couple of the characters in there, Tristan the guard and another character that you meet along the way that's not quite as honorable or reputable as Tristan is. They're just clashing like crazy. And they have a few moments where I would just start laughing. And of course, I'm sure my family thought I was crazy just laughing at my computer screen. I wasn't watching anything. I was just writing my book. But I really love those scenes where it convinces me. It makes me laugh. It makes me, you know, really just get into the characters. But any sort of like high tension scene where you can just feel whether they're two characters arguing or even like physical altercations. But I really just, I like those moments where it's like taut as a bowstring.
Yeah. So let's kind of switch gears to the covers. Ooh. Those are so eloquently done. They're beautiful. So what was your process for designing that? And how did you decide on the cover that you chose?
So I mentioned I rewrote Rise of the Forgotten, but before that point, I just wanted to give a few copies to friends and family. I had no intention of selling it at bookstores or trying to market it online or anything else. I just wanted a few copies like for, you know, family and a few friends or whatever else. So I'd asked a friend who did a little bit of graphic design for some thoughts on a certain original image that I did not end up using. Thank goodness. I love the one that I have now much better. But anyways, he sent me a few images that he's like, hey, I have a few sites that I use. Would one of these work? And so I ended up using that image that we pulled off of Pixabay. And I can't remember the artist's name off the top of my head, but I ended up going with that picture. And then I checked for the artist for permission, but used that cover. I used Microsoft Publisher. And honestly, my mom and I just went on there and tweaked a bunch of things. We lighting and fonts and colors and did a ton of work on it. Yeah, it was honestly pretty chaotic. I learned so much. And that's why a lot of times I put that on my blog. I'm like, hey guys, here's a bunch of things that I did wrong. Don't do this, do this in the first place. So always use images that are free. Don't even look at ones that aren't, it's not worth it. But anyways, it was a great learning curve. And then when book two came around, I contacted the artist, but she wasn't available to do any sort of a for the second book. So I ended up contacting Digital Me, who I actually just, we were friends for past years. I met her through martial arts and we ended up designing a cover. She did all the work. I'm just like, hey, can I have a girl and a horse? And she just brought it to life. She's like, so incredible.
Shout out to Digital Me, right? You guys really need to look her up on Instagram. Digital Me 23. She is phenomenal. She has a talent of taking one simple thought and creating it better than you could have thought it. It's amazing, right?
Absolutely. Totally agree. She's incredible. And I fully intend to, if I do my own covers ever again, I am totally going to her for them. So no, yeah. Incredible. If you ever need cover art, highly recommend.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay, Elizabeth, you have this next question.
Yes. So we get to talk about your duology, the Hinterlands and the Bloodlands. And I've read the Hinterlands and it's completely different from Rise of the Forgotten, but I love it so much. It is the first of its genre that I've ever read. So talk a little bit about that.
I completely agree. You know, the hardest thing, I'm querying for an agent for it right now. I can't find comparison titles out there just because it's very different. It, you know, I was listening to an epic music song actually called New Dawn. I believe it's by, I'm probably butchering the pronunciation, but Evior. And I saw this cool tribal picture of this redhead holding a torch in a cave. And I'm like, that would make an amazing story. I fell in love with the idea. I love my protagonist, Akira. And honestly, it's just this wild adventure of two different worlds kind of meeting, this primal savage world filled with tribes and spears and just all these different very primitive, but also very smart, intelligent people. And then meeting with the mainlands, which is more what you'd think of, you know, it's a little bit of a cross. It's not quite medieval. It's a little, there's a little bit of Greek influence in there. There's a little bit of, honestly, not quite steampunk because it's not steampunk at all. It's almost closest to medieval, but I don't know. It's just, it's a very interesting world. It's more modern. They have muskets and I don't know. It's just these two very different worlds, these two very different people meeting and kind of what that would look like. I don't really have a great way of describing it, but it's a great adventure and I'm so excited about it.
Yes, it's very unique and very exciting and I cannot wait to read The Bloodlands. I'm very excited for both of those.
Yeah.
What part of the publishing process was kind of the hardest for you and you know, formatting, writing, drafting, like what is the hardest and how do you kind of get out of that and how do you kind of push through that?
I would say, I mean, you know, there's a lot of hard things with writing, but it was absolutely worth it. So I wouldn't peg that as the hardest point. I think honestly, just everything revolving around formatting and getting everything ready for publishing. I went through Kindle Direct Publishing and it was a really good experience with the publisher, but honestly, there's just so much I had to learn because I hadn't, again, known anyone in person that had published through that route. I'd only heard traditional, but I'm like, well, I don't really want to start with that. I just want to kind of have it available and do my own thing with it. I had a great cover. So honestly, just everything revolving around interior formatting and exterior formatting with the cover, everything around that was really hard. I'm a little bit techie, but like, I wouldn't peg myself as super great at any of those things. So I can kind of learn, but it takes me a lot. So it just took so long getting everything perfect, getting the margins correct, getting the font size correct. And of course you have to order a new copy every time you want to make sure it looks good. And it was a huge learning curve. And now I feel like I've got the system down a little bit more, but that was one of the areas that I'm like, I kind of just wish that I didn't have to do any of this. So it was a great learning experience. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, that it's difficult. There's so many little things that can go wrong whenever you're self-publishing and you get one little measurement mixed up and it is completely changing the look of the book. And so.
Oh, yeah. It's so true. Oh, my goodness.
A of all of your books, which one was the most fun for you to write?
I would probably say that, well, I'm not quite done with it, but I would probably say Bloodlands. It's about 50 something thousand words right now. So it's about halfway done, a little bit over, but I paused so I could finish Through the Dawn because I'm like, okay, we've got to do Brianna's story. We've got to get that out there. But honestly, that book has really mostly wrote itself. When I actually sit down to make time and write it, it's just so chock full of adventure and peril and character dynamics that it was just an absolute blast to write. I honestly can't think of any particular point that I hit that I'm just like, oh, I really don't want to write this scene. Like I've gone through and reread it a few times just because I'm like, oh my gosh, did that happen? Did my characters do that? So that was like probably the most fun book for me to write, just really building off of that world and going back in with the characters, and keeps me on the edge of my seat. I'm like, oh my gosh, don't do that. What's wrong with you guys? But they do it anyway. So they'll learn one day.
I'm excited for that one. Yeah. So what is probably the most influential piece of writing advice you've ever gotten?
Oh man. I don't know if it was anything necessarily put into one direct word, but I think the best thing that ever happened with my writing, and just something that I've learned and that my mom's passed on. She does some writing as well. And she also homeschooled me. So that was, I'm sure, a journey for her as well, having another writer in the family and figuring out what that looks like and not breaking my heart when she found edits in my book. Thanks, Mom. But it's just that as you read, you're going to pick up on the different styles of the books that you read. And that's pretty normal, especially as you start off writing. You're younger, you're going to start imitating what you read. So one, be careful what you're reading as you're writing, because it will influence. But honestly, just finding, I know everyone says it, but finding your own voice is so important, to where you finally realize that you don't necessarily have to follow all the grammatical rules. You don't have to make your book sound exactly like anyone else's or make the characters the exact same. Just kind of figure out, this shouldn't be a stressful thing. Like I said, as a young writer, I definitely imitated people. Whoever I was reading, that's what my writing sounded like. That's pretty normal. But don't be afraid to grow out of it. Don't be afraid to just read a lot of different books. And the more that you read, the more you're going to figure out, oh, I like these aspects, I don't like these aspects, and you're going to really craft your own writing. So read a lot and write a lot, and that's going to help you really just be able to hone your own writing style. And that's what's going to make your book the best it can be, because you're not going to come up with this plot that no one's ever heard of before. And if you do, then people are probably like, well, that's a little weird. But you're going to have this unique author voice, you're going to have these unique character voices, and that's what's going to really make your book the best it can be.
What is, and aside from that, I kind of want to dive into a little bit of the advice that you're giving right now. What would be some points of advice that you could give to maybe some really young readers that are starting out, that could kind of help them, you know, start this journey?
Yeah. Playing off of that. Yeah. Still read a lot, write a lot, have a group that you can get involved with. That might be a parent, that might be a sibling. Me and my brother bounce stuff off of each other, where we'll literally just like, as kids and honestly into our teenage years, we would literally role play through book ideas, and it really helped us to develop that. But get an adult, get a parent, get a sibling, get, you know, some people in your life who are interested in writing and who are really just going to read your works and pour into it. And, you know, some of them are going to literally just read it and say, oh my gosh, I loved it. And that's great. That's how my grandma is. When she reads my work, there are no flaws in it. I don't know how she does that. I mean, she'll find like a missing period or something, but like, as far as just everything, she's like, you are an amazing writer. And I'm like, oh my gosh, grandma, you'd think I was a New York Times bestselling author. And then you're going to have other people though, who are going to be like, oh, hey, okay, I really like this, but let's hone in on this character a little bit more, or let's kind of flesh out this plot a little bit more, because there's a little bit of errors here or continuity or something like that. And both are vastly important. You need someone who's going to just encourage you, and you need someone who is going to actually help you. And I've had a lot of people in both categories. My mom is the main one in the editing category, and really just made Rise of the Forgotten the best that it could be, because she literally went through, she was my editor. And thus far, I think you guys were the only ones who actually found one error that I had spelled one character's name with a C instead of with an S, or vice versa. That's the only thing that anyone's ever found in that book. So my mom just did a phenomenal job. She read through that thing so many times. But yeah, just find a support group of writers, or even non-writers, just readers, and have them really just read your work.
Yeah, and I just read through it again, and I finished it just earlier, and I didn't find any mistakes at all.
Woohoo!
So your mom did a good job.
She did. She's fantastic. She's also really mean sometimes. Not mean to me, but mean with my work. Doesn't let anything slide in. I'm very thankful for it, but you look at the papers and it's like, that's a lot of red. And then it turns out great in the end.
Here you go. You guys are our mother-daughter team, and we are as well. So that's been a fun journey. So it's exciting to see another, you know, mom and daughter team out there kind of doing the same thing that we're doing.
Yeah,
so what do you do when you're not writing? What is another hobby that you do?
Yeah, I'd say, I mentioned briefly earlier, I'd say one of my biggest things is horseback riding. I have a 7-year-old Arabian mare. She's a little Spitfire. Her name is Black Minx from the Black Stallion books. And I take her up, we live out by the mountains. So we just take, my mom and I'll go up riding and over the mountains. And it's so much fun. And especially spring, everything's green and beautiful and everything else. So that's one of my biggest things. And then I'd say, honestly, martial arts have been one of the biggest things in my life as well, which is kind of strange talking about, but I don't know. I've been in it since I was about 13 years old, and it's been huge. It's really helped me as a writer, because I don't get to just kind of get fight scenes from movies. I get to practice certain things, and mm-hmm. just kind of, you get the adrenaline of when you're fighting someone, and it's not even for your life, but you kind of get more into the feeling of, oh my gosh, this is terrifying. Everything locks down. You don't react the same. Everything is so much different, and kind of knowing what it feels like to get bopped around and hit a little bit. So it's really helped my writing, and honestly, just my growth as a person. So those are my two biggest things.
Awesome.
Yeah, I just want to say you have become an author that I look up to so much. Like, you answer all of my questions. I mean, we've had emails that are probably 10,000 long.
Oh, absolutely.
10,000 words long each.
Easy.
Like, for like the past 2 years. Yeah, it's been really good getting to know you, and I'm very thankful for you and all of your advice. And, you know, I went and I watched your workshop whenever I was publishing, you know, to figure out what to do. Like, you've guided me through my own journey in publishing, and I'm so thankful for that.
Yeah. Well, no, it's been fantastic having another author friend. I don't have a whole lot in person who I get to bounce things off of. And you've read through some of my works while they're still in the horrible unedited phase of, oh my gosh, my mom hasn't gone through this yet. But no, it's been fantastic just bouncing ideas off of each other. And no, it's been great. And like I said, support groups are so amazing. So this is one of my biggest, honestly, author support groups is bouncing off both of you guys, just different things. It's been a blast.
So tell us, where are your books available? How do people connect with you? Where can people find you?
So primarily I sell through Amazon. You can just look up Rise of the Forgotten by J.H. Gates, and it should pop up there. Or you can go to my website, which is jhgates.com. I've got in a few local bookstores for those of you who are in the North Idaho area. So you can hop on my website and it should be listed on there, or check out my social media. I've got at jhgates author on Facebook. And I believe it's the same for Instagram, but I'm terrible at remembering all those things. So yeah, just hop on my website. You can check out my social media, and I'd love to hear from you if you have questions or anything else along the writing journey. I love talking to people about it and just kind of sharing what I've gone through. So,
well, congratulations on, you know, your accomplishments. And I know that you have so much ahead for you, so many exciting things. Jessica is newly recent engaged. So very recently, right?
Very recently, like a month ago.
yeah. So that's exciting. Wedding is coming up. So lots of exciting things, and you are one of those examples that I'm proud to have my daughter follow. I think that's important, especially in, you know, today's age, where there's not a whole lot of strong women that are writing clean content. and positive content, but yet exciting. And you have definitely perfected that. And so congratulations on that. And super just excited to see you grow and see, you know, where these characters morph into as you, you know, get into marriage and, you know, possibly parenthood in the future, and how these characters kind of grow with you as, you know, you grow through life too. So we're excited to see where all of this goes. And thank you for being on.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I really appreciate this opportunity. And yeah, I'm really excited to honestly see where everything goes. And I look forward to following you guys' journey as well as you get more books out there. And yeah, just, it's so exciting seeing more strong, clean Christian authors popping up and bringing out more unique and amazing content. So I'm super hyped.
Well, that concludes this interview today with J.H. Gates. And we are so thankful that you took some time out of your day to listen. So go follow us at dhkcreations.com. Look for us on Instagram. Elizabeth May Wolfram is Wolfram Writing. And you can find myself at Carrie Elizabeth W. And we hope you have a blessed day. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Wordsmith's Edge, brought to you by DHK Creations and Publications, LLC. We invite you to follow along on our brand new Instagrams at Carrie Elizabeth W. and at Wolfram Writing to keep up with us on social media. If you're an author who would like to learn more about how we help authors self-publish, visit dhkcreations.com. Stay tuned for new episodes on the way.